Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
While many people are treating Tiger Woods' accident like it's all over and everything's okay because he's alive, today's KKHI is a cautionary tale. You can hear it in the words of the UCLA Medical Center Chief Medical Officer when he says, "We should all say some prayers for him." This was a really bad accident, and this is going to be a giant story for years to come. It's really just getting started. A crash scene reconstruction engineer says the road Tiger was on was not particularly dangerous where he was. The expert says it was a straight stretch. Tiger's car didn't roll over until the final one-quarter turn when he hit a tree at the very end. This man also says there hasn't been a wreck in that spot for 11 years. It's getting harder and harder to figure out who to believe when news breaks. I honestly don't know what to believe at this point. Bill Self says he doesn't care anything but the NCAA tournament seeding at this point. Big 12 doesn't matter. He's right. This is quite a different song for Kansas. Still, they're in way better shape than Kentucky, Duke, or North Carolina. The Tar Heels are adding games to build their resume, but it backfired as they lost one of them. Ouch. We'll break down the college basketball in this final, sort of, regular season week. How is Andrew Cuomo still the governor of New York? Sexual impropriety allegations aside, he's been a disaster as governor. He wrote a book about himself during a pandemic, about how well he was doing during the pandemic, and it turns out he lied and misled everyone. Can somebody close to him please convince him to do the right thing? His own party is out for blood now. We'll break that down. Dr. Fauci now says take anything that's available for COVID. Do you still trust him? We discuss a catfight in Congress. This is a good one. And five counties in one American state want to move to the state next door. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Back9Development.com. The Solheim condominiums at Grandmere are on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. These are wonderful for second homes, football weekend getaways. Maybe you've got a 14-year-old that's going to be going to college in a few years. Make that investment now. Go to the games in the fall. Spend some time in Manhattan. Maybe do some work there. And your kid can live there when they go to college. These are upscale. These are really nice. This would be the tall cotton for a college kid to live in these, let me tell you. Okay? Really, because these are really nice condos. They start at $249,000. Back 9 Development specializes in custom building. So this is the first project of this kind that TJ has done. And they're going to be spectacular. You have time this spring to go out there and pick out your view, decide which unit you want, and meet TJ in person. There's no obligation up front other than to call him and contact him and say you're interested. If you'd like more information on the Solheim at Grandmere, back9development.com is the website. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com, or just call TJ, 785-236-0161 for back9development.com. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems. These guys, all they do is save you money. You keep your HVAC system in your building, whether it's a warehouse, an office space, a church, a school, something like that. They work with school districts all over the place. What they do is you may have an older HVAC system that doesn't run as efficiently as it should. They come in and help you with a control panel that fixes that. And they make your building great again. That's their slogan, make your building great again. With Elite Automation. It's remarkable what they can save you if you have a big building. 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188 online at eliteautomate.com. Make your building great again. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Their customers say, "We just make it easy at Roberts Robinson," and it's true. They're so friendly and courteous, and I've mentioned this many times. Mike's promise to me is my promise to you. And he promises that if anybody that listens to KKHI goes to Roberts Robinson for service, maybe you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle or a brand new GMC truck, it doesn't really matter what you're looking for, you're going to get treated better there than you've ever been treated at any automobile dealership ever. That's a bold claim, but they back it up. They just do things different in Excelsior Springs. It's just a little friendlier and a little bit nicer. It's worth the drive. If you want to kick the tires and go for a test drive, it's worth the drive to Excelsior Springs, or you can shop online. Many of the people who buy cars at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, live 30 or more miles away. Doesn't matter. You know you're going to save money. You're going to get great treatment. You're going to be treated with complete and utter respect and get a great deal on a new Chevy, GMC, or Buick. So check them out online at robertsrobinson.com. Or visit the showroom floor in Excelsior Springs at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. I'm afraid the Tiger Woods story is not over. It is a miracle and wonderful that he has survived and he has lived. But this story is only going to continue to get bigger and bigger as the weeks, months, and maybe years go by. On Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. B-Stock Electronics Outlet Store presents Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Online at bstock.net.
Well, everybody was shocked to hear the news a couple days ago of the Tiger Woods accident in Los Angeles when his car careened out of control and over a hill or a ledge or a small cliff and hit a tree. And it has left him with devastating injuries to his legs, mostly below the knees. And we're getting more and more information about what may or may not have transpired. And far be it from me to sit here and try to figure out exactly why it happened, what happened, or anything of that nature. They have cleared him of any possible drunk driving or anything like that. I have not heard a complete clearance of impaired driving, and certainly no clearance of distracted driving. Distracted driving, I think we know what that is. It is, you're either on the infotainment center in your car. This was a loaner car from a golf tournament that he clearly was not. It's a brand new car. A brand new model. They've never even made these things. So his familiarity with it would not have been great. That doesn't mean you can't drive it well, but maybe he was messing with the infotainment system. Maybe he was on his phone, some things like that. But there's a lot of conflicting reports out there before we get into the specifics of his injury and maybe where this thing is headed with Tiger over the next year or two or how long it may take. But there's some conflicting reports about what took place. We've heard so many immediate reactions that, hey, dangerous road, curvy, winding, tons of accidents right there, all of those things. We've heard that. And it is, as we know so many times in the media, you know that whatever you hear first, this is why the Democrats are so good. Whatever you hear first, whatever the narrative is first, that's gospel. So, you know, the fact that in so many of these police incidents with minorities, that somebody had just committed a crime or brandished a gun or stole a gun from a cop or was fighting with a cop or was wasted on drugs out of his mind and kicking and screaming, going crazy. That stuff never, that's always like days later. And it doesn't matter because the narrative's been built, right? It's already been out there through the media. First impression really matters. The first impression here is that this was a crazy dangerous road, very steep, very windy. And people have known, hey, listen, this happens before, or whatever. There was also a report of a Hollywood director. He directs a sitcom called Grownish. I think, is it Grownish? One of the Ishes, Blackish or Grownish. One of them. He's the director, and Tiger was at this resort for the golf tournament, and the entire cast was staying at the resort. I guess as part of COVID, they lock them down, whatever, and do these shows. But this director bumped into Tiger just before he got in his car and described him as agitated and rude and upset and in a hurry. So listen, we hear all these different things. We don't know what happened. Sometimes people make mistakes while driving. It's why it's called an accident. There's almost always a cause. That doesn't mean it still isn't an accident. It wasn't. There's nothing to point that any of this was somehow intentional. His seatbelt was on, for example. People do commit suicide by crashing their cars. I don't think that's an uncommon thing. It's whatever, but people who are suicidal, you can't explain what they do. But when they do this, the first telltale sign is they see somebody that was alone. Maybe they left a note, maybe whatever. They don't wear their seatbelts. Tiger had a seatbelt on. It saved his life. So I think we can safely rule that out. We can rule out alcohol because the authorities have done that. And I came across this story today of a company called DJS Associates. And what DJS is, they're an engineering firm, and there's the director of this thing is like the leading expert in America on crash site analysis and reconstruction of exactly what happened. And this man has done this, and he has said, the media do not have this right. They don't have any of it right. And he's staking the reputation of his company on it based on photos, maps, intelligence, reports from the government about how many accidents were there at this spot. And what he found is, DJS Associates found, there has not been one accident on that road within a half mile of where Tiger hit that tree in the last 11 years. I don't know who to believe, folks. I don't know who to believe or what to believe here. I've said many times, and I've always felt this way, I've trusted my kids as they were growing up. Look, I knew they were going to do things that were bad decisions. We, as parents, we always go through that. You know, was I naive enough to think that there wasn't going to be some drinking at some point, or, you know, as they're teenagers or into college or whatever it may be? No, you're not. And drunk driving is incredibly serious. But the thing I always thought about with my kids was I can't get them off their phones. I can't get them off their phones. And no matter how much we tell them and teach them how dangerous it is to be texting while driving, on your way to school in the morning, or whatever it may be, it isn't that you will do something that will cause the wreck. It's if you're not paying attention defensively as a driver to someone else, what could happen to you because you're looking at your phone? And certainly you could cause the wreck as well. And I think they knew that. My worry for my kids, and it remains that way today, is distracted driving more than impaired driving. It's not to say that it couldn't be impaired driving, things happen. No, it's the darn distracted driving. And I don't know what Tiger was doing. We don't know what happened on this thing. But as they've talked about exactly what took place, it's pretty amazing to hear this man put his report out that this was a hot spot, a trouble spot. The authorities have said that. The reconstruction expert says it's not really dangerous at all. It was a straight shot. And he went basically 400 feet. The car traveled from the time that he lost control when it hit the median. It hit the median, and it came to rest on its side 400 feet later. It was not a rollover accident. It rolled over when it hit the tree and made its last move, and it rolled over onto its side. He declared this by saying there's no damage to the roof of the car or the trunk part, the back part. It did not roll over and over and over. That did not happen. So a lot of the reporting that's been out there, this guy says, just not accurate. We can see by the photos, it doesn't take a bunch of expert testimony on this thing, but he says the car traveled 400 feet until it hit the tree on a safe piece of road that was straight, where there has not been an accident in 11 years on this piece of road. So I don't know, but if you're traveling down a road, even if you're in a curved area and you hit a median, I'm there's just no other way to say it. Something happened. Maybe you sneezed. Maybe you're on your phone. Maybe you're distracted. Something happened. I don't think there's any indication at this point, and nor would we believe that in a brand new car, this brand new Genesis SUV, that, you know, somehow we've not heard anybody suggest that maybe a tire blew or the car malfunctioned in some way. I don't know, and maybe it doesn't matter, but I think it's important because of the next point that I want to talk about. And so much of this is, you know, media reaction to when something happens. We've gotten to a point in this country where you don't know what to believe. You don't know what to believe. You really don't. And we've got experts here. We've got police officers and people commenting that Tiger was, you know, conscious, calm, but completely unaware of the extent and the seriousness of his injuries. Maybe he was in shock. These people are talking about how they found him, that he was conscious and said, yeah, what's your name? He said, my name's Tiger. The officer went, oh my gosh, you're Tiger Woods. And then they saw what was going on. And I can't even imagine what it is like to sit there trapped in a car with bones sticking out of your legs and the things that he endured, because this, by all accounts, was just an absolutely gruesome car wreck that the seatbelt and airbags clearly saved his life, but it didn't protect his legs from the collapsing, which is part of the safety system of a car. A lot of this was designed in racing, you know, damage the legs, not the torso, the organ part of your body or your head. And that seemed to have worked here. But we hear all these different reports, and I don't know what to believe. What I do know is this, I believe. This is from the chief medical officer at UCLA Medical Center, and he's also a surgeon. And he used the word long three times. He said, Tiger has a long, long, long road ahead. And then this chief medical officer and surgeon said, say some prayers for him. And that was the quote. And I think the part of the story that is really being missed here, because we don't know, you know, what happened. I'm a little confused. I believed it. I believed it was just a terribly windy, stretchy road. We've been on things like that through some of the canyons in suburban Los Angeles, that it was a difficult road to drive on, you know, and that it was a rollover accident. And then I hear this guy's report, and I've looked at the pictures of the car. There's no real damage to the top of the car. Doesn't look like it rolled over, and all the things that we've heard. Technically, I guess it did roll over because it did a quarter of a turn onto its side at the very end after he smashed into a tree. But when you have so many conflicting things now, and we don't know, and the authorities will reconstruct it and figure it out, and maybe it doesn't matter. And there's a lot of people saying it doesn't matter. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. What matters is he's alive. What matters is get well and get some normalcy back in your life to where you can walk and play golf with your kid or, you know, whatever. Whatever normalcy becomes for Tiger Woods in his life. I think everybody wants that. Everybody wants that for anyone. Okay, nobody wishes harm on anybody. But because he is Tiger Woods, the curiosity factor of what in the world happened exists. And if we remember back to when he had the incident at then his wife, where he smashed the windows out of her SUV with a 9-iron, I think it was, or an 8-iron, as she was driving off, you know, we heard some incidents, you know, of Tiger Woods involved in this, you know, blah, blah. We know that he had been pulled over before when he was on some painkillers, and he's had that on his record. Every time something happens with something that's a celebrity, it just occurs to me that the first thing we hear is misleading. And I don't know if it's we're rooting for things to be better than they are. I don't know. I don't know. We got a little Kobe Bryant news coming up in just a couple of moments. I'm going to talk about with the NBA and its logo, but I think it's widely held at this point that as tragic as Kobe Bryant's death was, and of all the people in that helicopter, that it was definitely a day they shouldn't have been flying, that Kobe should have gotten in his car, and that he definitely had a highly paid pilot for his helicopter that, by many accounts, did what Kobe wanted to do. Because Kobe was kind of a big deal. And flying to a little league basketball game, instead of a 45-minute drive, chopping that down to 15 minutes in a helicopter, proved fatal on a day that clearly they shouldn't have been flying, and there were warnings in the air. It was a flight. We see things a lot of times with celebrities that come out after the fact that are different than what we first hear. So I'm just taking a cautionary approach on this one. I couldn't tell you what happened. My guess is distracted driving. It's 7:12 in the morning. There's no indication from the officers that there was alcohol involved or anything like that. It just seems plausible you could be driving that. And now this guy says this is a straight piece of road. He just hit a median, which would cause you to lose control of your car. If you're hitting a median at, let's say, 55 miles an hour, if you're looking at your phone and you hit it and you go across the median, it would jar you and you'd hit the brakes and try to do whatever, and they found skid marks, but then it rolled off the road and down the hill where he hit a tree and the thing rolled over. So we'll find out, I guess, in the coming days, but I think what's missing here is when the doctor says three times, a long, long, long road ahead, say some prayers for him. We briefly mentioned this on the podcast yesterday. Nothing can be ruled out here. Tiger Woods isn't in the clear. Most people are treating this event like it's over, like he lived and that's that. Well, we don't know. This could be devastating. This could. Doctors are saying 9 months to a year for any decent recovery at all. He's going to have weeks, if not months, in a wheelchair because you can't put any pressure on these legs. Alex Smith had what sounds like a less severe leg injury from playing football to just one leg, required 17 surgeries in 2 years to get better. Derek Thomas, as we know, here in Kansas City, was in a car accident. It was not leg injuries. His was back and neck. But he was well enough that they moved him from Kansas City to a hospital in Florida. And days later, as they were moving him from his hospital bed to a wheelchair to go begin some therapy, a blood clot, which had developed in his leg, moved to his lung, and he had a cardiopulmonary episode, and it killed him. These things are so much more dangerous than people know. Now, listen, some of you know this. Some of you listening are doctors and stuff, and I probably sound like an idiot even talking about it. But I'm only going off my experience of covering these types of stories my whole life, and they're not over. Alex Smith didn't get carted off a football field with a broken leg and taken to the hospital, and that's the end of the story, and he's just going to bounce right back. It was a chilling, difficult road for Alex Smith and his family, and he nearly died when he got infections in his leg. We just talked about Terry Francona, the manager of the Cleveland Indians. He almost died in the early 2000s when he had a staph infection. He had another staph infection this winter. These things are crazy dangerous. And I don't hear anybody talking about this, and I think that's right. I think we all pray for the best. But I don't know how anybody could know these things and see what's happened and just say, this thing is over. I mean, they're describing something with his legs so horrific. I've never really heard it described this way. You know, I'm hearing a lot of doctors and experts say it is likely with what will transpire, with all of the procedures and everything that he does, it's likely at some point he will have some sort of an infection. And how it's treated and how he responds and all those things will be critically important for Tiger Woods. Again, this is going off the authorities. The doctors have described something just outrageously awful. Feet, ankles, legs, protruding bones, muscles, soft tissue, most of it below the knees, but just wrecked, just completely wrecked below the knees. A horrible, horrible situation. And, you know, we always remember that when these things happen, where we were when we heard about them. And yes, it is a giant relief that Tiger Woods is alive, that this didn't end. And it's also a giant relief that he was alone, to be honest. You know, it's a huge relief that there, in so many cases, in Derek Thomas's case, he had a friend in the car that died during the crash. Derek Thomas didn't die for several days later. That occurred in Miami because of a blood clot that traveled in his body. But these horrific crashes, I think the doctors nailed it. And you just don't hear surgeons say this very often. It is a long, long, long road ahead. Say some prayers for him. And I think that's exactly right. We will keep our eye on the Tiger Woods story on Kevin Kietzman Has Issues over the coming weeks, months, and years. And this talk of him playing golf is ridiculous at this point. It's ridiculous. So let's get the man healthy. He can be a tremendous. See, this could be something good. If there is nothing, this could be a good message. If it was as simple as he was on his phone, there's a great message for young people there. There's also the great message that the seatbelt saved his life. When high-profile things happen, you can turn them into good, and I think Tiger would be willing to do that and certainly would do that. We just have to figure out how that happens going forward, but mostly he's got to get healthy, man. He's got to stay alive and be healthy, and I think that's right. I think you pray for him and for anybody that's involved in an accident. I had a child in a pretty bad car accident. It's a scary, scary time. We wish the best. All right, on to some other stuff in the sports world. Kyrie Irving is an NBA player, as you know. And he is speaking out that the NBA logo needs to go. The NBA logo is a silhouette of Jerry West, who was the face of the league in the 60s. And in 1969, Jerry West became basically the logo. Now, it doesn't have his number on it or his face or anything. It's like I said, it's a silhouette of him kind of dribbling the ball. And you've seen the NBA logo. You know what it is. I've often wondered, when are they going to change this? For years, people thought Michael Jordan should be the logo. Well, Nike has taken the Air Jordan logo where he's up, you know, palming the ball, getting ready to dunk it, and his legs are, we've seen that. You know the Air Jordan logo. That would be a great logo for the NBA, but they can't go with a Nike logo. They're not going to. Could they do something else with Jordan? Maybe. That's the direction I would go if I were the NBA. That's where I would go. But Kyrie Irving wants Kobe Bryant. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, has said, I want Kobe Bryant. That sounds good. I'll vote for that. And Kobe has done, he did so much good. He brought people together. He just got better and better in life, which is, you know, these are the stories we like. We like it when you improve your life, when we grow and mature and we get better and we do great things. And Kobe did a lot of great things in his life. This is not some Kobe Bryant bash, but I'm wondering if the NBA goes with Kobe Bryant, if they aren't just opening themselves up to criticisms again of the rape charges, the arrest, the different things that happened with Kobe through the years. And I just wonder if that's, I don't know if it is. It's not going to be me because I don't, that's not my hill to fight on. But for some people, it's the only hill they fight on. And I'd really maybe say consider Michael Jordan. The NBA wants to change his logo. I get it. And this is not something that bothers me in any way, shape, and form. It is a largely, it's not, there's a lot of European players that are not black, but it is a largely black player sport. African Americans, largely. And it is becoming more and more by the day a niche sport. The television ratings aren't particularly good. Everybody knows what the NBA is. We all know a handful of stars. Nobody knows who plays where or what the standings are. It's just not that league. Some people do. There's something, but they're small numbers of people. Fewer and fewer people are into the NBA than before. And that's even with millennials, because the young kids like it, but they consume it the wrong way. For the NBA, they consume it through social media. They see LeBron James hit a three-pointer to win a game on their phone on a Twitter thread that's about a four-second GIF, and they see it that way. They don't watch the games. It's hard because they're not really supporting the product. They're just sharing information, saying, hey, look at this cool dunk, and that's it. So even the young people that like the sport, the NBA, the game, whatever, are not typical fans. They don't consume it the same way. And that's troubling for the NBA. I think this is the players. I think they want a new logo. I do think there's an element of race to this. I think they want to replace the old white player from the 60s with a black player. I don't have a problem with that. There's nothing set in stone that it even was Jerry West. I mean, the silhouette is Jerry West, but they never, it's not like, again, it's not like it's his face and his number and all that stuff. It's just kind of a silhouette. It's a cutout. And if they want to do one with Kobe, I think the NBA has every right to do that. And so I guess I'd support it. I just hope that they don't bring too much attention to the negatives of Kobe Bryant. I think everybody's at peace with the good that Kobe did and the tragedy that occurred, and wants to remember him in that light. And I just am hopeful that if they make some sort of decision like this, it doesn't dredge up a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, speaking of conjuring up some stuff, there's a linebacker for the Ravens in the NFL. Matthew Judon, and he has the franchise tag, and he's in a contract negotiation. And there's a reporter named Jameson Hensley that reports on the Ravens, and he has put some reports out there that Judon does not think are accurate. And so Judon is upset with Hensley, the reporter, and he goes to Twitter and says, "Your false information or whatever, I will either accept an apology from you, or I'm leaking photos I got with you at a strip club." What? That's right. An NFL player, a linebacker with a franchise tag, getting a new contract, millions and millions of dollars, is on social media saying, "I'm going to get an apology from your reporting, or I'm leaking photos I got with you in a strip club." There's no commentary to insert here. I'd love to give you some fresh, hot take on this. There is no commentary. It speaks for itself. A player with just millions and millions of dollars, about to just be filthy rich, is upset with a reporter and wants to leak pictures of him in a strip club. I can't even... I mean, I guess it's... We haven't heard from Jameson Hensley, the reporter, to say, "Hey, I've never been to a strip club." I haven't heard that. Maybe that's the next thing. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I thought you'd like that little nugget from the sports world. Big college basketball weekend coming up this weekend. Not for Mizzou. Their game with ATM, I call them ATM, Texas A&M, is postponed. COVID. Baylor got a win over Iowa State. That's 10 wins for Baylor in the Big 12, 10-0. They've got West Virginia Thursday night. They have Kansas Saturday. That would be 12, and if they win them both, they're good. Because the formula in the Big 12 is whatever the average number of games played in the league is, and I think it's going to wind up being around 15 maybe, because not everybody's playing the full schedule. Let's say 15 is the average games played. If Baylor gets to 12-0, they've won the league. And the reason why is they will adjust their schedule with three forfeits. They would actually finish 12-3. Because they came up three shy of the league average, they get a loss for all three they didn't play. So if they get to 12-0, I think they're home free. But they got to beat West Virginia and Kansas. That's two pretty good teams. Right there nipping at their heels. Kansas is clearly an improved basketball team. The question is, what on earth is going to happen in this league if Baylor loses these two games? What if they go to 10-2? Right? Now what do you do? If that's it, they're going to try to play some other games next week before the Big 12 tournament. We'll see if they can get him in, how it's going to work. Nobody knows. Nobody knows how the schedule will play out. For his part, Bill Self says, I don't care. He feels like they wrecked their chance already at second place, and they did. The Texas loss hurt along those lines. He says, I don't care. He said the seedings in the Big 12 tournament are going to be bogus anyway because everybody's played different numbers of games. The whole thing is ridiculous. He said everybody in this league knows they're playing for an NCAA tournament seed. That matters. That still matters, and that's what we're playing for. Well, that's right. He said he was playing for second. At the beginning of the year, they were playing for first, and now he says he's playing for seed. It fits. It works. You got to tell your kids something, and you want them to buy in. They're playing harder. They're playing smarter. I wouldn't like their chances against Baylor Saturday, except Baylor wasn't very good against Iowa State. Now, Baylor had 3 weeks off, and 3 weeks off is no small thing. You take 3 weeks off in the middle of a college basketball season when you're playing well, undefeated, you got to reboot the computer, and it isn't real quick. It doesn't start up, you know, quite so fast. They are getting another game in with West Virginia before Kansas, but they'll also play a bunch of games in a short period of time. So I don't know. I think this is a decent situation for Kansas to play with Baylor and have the chance. We'll see. I think there's just probably too big a talent disparity, but Bill Self's been known to just flat out coach people before, and he might be able to do that against Baylor on Saturday. That would be a big win for Kansas and their resume for the NCAA tournament. Again, Missouri's game with Texas A&M has been postponed. North Carolina, blue blood, if there ever was one in college basketball, has been scheduling extra opponents because they, at one point here a week ago, we talked about they'd only played five home games or six home games all year. They'd had a bunch of postponements. Teams couldn't play them. They brought in Northeastern last week to play. They got the win. And Bill Self's been talking about adding another game and wants to add another game to put something on the resume. Be careful what you wish for, because Carolina added Marquette and lost, hurting their chances in the NCAA tournament. Roy Williams didn't storm out of his news conference afterwards, but he did end it when he was asked, how do you respond to the fans of UNC that say you weren't thinking through this clearly when you scheduled this game? And he basically gave the, hey, listen, that's hindsight. Sure. Did I think we were going to win the game? Yeah. I always think we're going to win the game. He said, in hindsight, if I knew we were going to win a game, I would have scheduled the Lakers. That would have been really great for our resume for the tournament. And then he just got up and walked out. It's tough. You know, when it is so automatic that you never, ever, ever are on the bubble or have to think about getting in the tournament, and now it looks like Kentucky's out, Duke has worked their way back in, Carolina's Bubbleville, Kansas has had to work really hard to put themselves in a position to maybe get a four seed. It's probably where Kansas is, four, maybe five. We'll see how it plays out, but they've had to work really hard to do that to where they weren't involved in some sort of a deal where, you know, you go play in the 8-9 game and hang on for dear life, and even if you win it, now you got to go play Michigan or Gonzaga or somebody. Kansas has been able to avoid that, and it's a big difference. It does make a big difference. It's just a weird year out there watching these teams just try to scramble to get in. Check out our social media accounts. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Put a couple of pictures up with Dr. Jeremy Fry and Dr. Tony Marengo. I was at a dinner with them last night. I was Dr. Fry's, Dr. Jeremy's what I call him. I was his guest. Me and Jessica went, and we just had a wonderful time, the six of us. It was a great evening. They're awesome people. They're tremendous. Marengo's maybe the best dentist in the city. And Dr. Jeremy, of course, and the orthodontics that his family's been part of in Kansas City for generations, they are the best. It's really fascinating to sit with people that are so much smarter than you. It's kind of fun, you know? And when you're with doctors, you know that. They're just quality people. And thanks to Dr. Jeremy for having us out last night for a wonderful dinner. And it was a really neat evening. We talked a lot about his business and how it has grown and the different locations of Fry Orthodontics around Kansas City. He and his team and his staff of doctors are simply the best for your teenager. If you're looking to get braces and fix that smile for life, they just treat you so gently at Fry Ortho, and they make it fun. It's a big part of their business. So, or maybe you're an adult and you'd like to correct your smile, straighten those teeth, get that perfect, confident, beautiful smile. FryOrthodontics.com is the website, or call 469-9191 at Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. We are going back to Joslyn's. I think sometime this week, I bought my wife a Christmas present there. And she's sort of gone back and forth to whether she wants to keep it or trade it for something else. And she's going to go exchange it for something else. So that's what we're going to do. And they're just so cool with that. Joslyn's great. And we'll find her something that she really likes at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Buck Roofing, my preferred choice for anything above my head. It doesn't matter. A repair, an emergency, a brand new roof, whatever it may be, it's Buck Roofing. Talked to Stan Weber earlier this week. He's getting a new roof at his house from Buck Roofing. He wouldn't go any other way. That's for sure. So many people we know wouldn't have anyone else, wouldn't trust anybody else with their roof. Ron's the best. 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680. If you have a small repair or you just want to get the free roof inspection this spring, call them, mention KKHI, and they'll come inspect your roof and see if anything happened this winter and take a look at it. You should do this. If somebody's going to do that for free for you and you 1,000% can trust them, then do it by all means. 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. I don't know how Governor Andrew Cuomo is still the governor in New York, other than he's a Democrat. But he's got all these Democrats all over him. What are they going to have to do? What's he going to force them to do? Some sort of a recall thing like's going on in California? Cuomo should step down. And he's, you know, should he be locked up and go to jail? Should we throw all these things at him that they used to say about Trump? He's a criminal. Lock him up. No. He's a bad governor. He's incompetent. He has failed as governor of New York. The death toll was way too high, and he was complicit in that. He lied repeatedly about things. He hid things deceptively from the people of New York and the American people. And I thought at the time, one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen a politician do, and he didn't get any heat for this at all, was writing a book about how great he is during a pandemic. How can you be the governor of New York during this pandemic and have time to write a book? I mean, it's astounding to me. Now, because he's on the ropes, people are resurfacing with stories of improprieties with his job, that he's used his authority in improper ways, sexual discrimination, sexual harassment. Lindsay Boylan had leveled some charges before. She worked for Governor Cuomo, said things before. These have resurfaced. She's now come up with more detailed accounts of things exactly as the way they happen. And for the most part, Holly Weird and a lot of the liberal women that jump right on board the second this happens to someone are not in this case. But Rose McGowan, who is an actress, and she's kind of loco in her own right, she was part of the Harvey Weinstein trial. So she was harassed, abused, whatever the word is, by Harvey Weinstein, and she is all in. She now Rose McGowan is the person who says, this is easy. In any of these cases, I instantly side with the woman, and that's what she's doing here. And I don't know how we can do that. It's not that I don't believe Lindsay Boylan. I do believe her, but I'm not staking my reputation on it. I don't know what the heck happened. I'm always curious how, when people come forward in these situations, they're like, I'm with her. I'm with her. He's a scumbag. I'm with her. How do you know? We know people lie. We know people lie about these things. We know that lying is involved in relationships all the time. Probably with people you know, maybe you in your life are living some sort of a lie right now in something like this. It's everywhere. It's why you couldn't keep COVID from spreading, folks, to be quite honest. Although Dr. Fauci said we should wear a mask while we do it. Wow. I can't go there with this. I can't just say, listen, I know she's right. He's a scumbag, but he's done enough wrong with his liberal policies. He's been incompetent as a governor. He wrote the book during the pandemic. The book is inaccurate and wrong. He has lied and misled the people. He's got all these people coming out saying now that he's done inappropriate things at work, and some of it's just flat bullying of other men at work, intimidation, threats of firing, all these different things. It's all coming out. He needs to step down. He's not going to survive this, is he? I get, okay, he's a Democrat, so maybe he survives it just because he's Democrat. I'd hate to think that that's the case. At the same time, this is happening. The Star put a piece up yesterday from a paper in New Orleans or in Louisiana about Les Miles, the football coach at KU, that in 2013, he settled a lawsuit. Somebody claimed something against him while he was the head coach at LSU, and he settled it. And immediately, because it's a celebrity, it's Les Miles, it comes out, and you're like, it's sensational. Oh, my God, look what he did. And my first thought was completely different than my friends or the people that I was talking to about this yesterday. I'm like, wait a second. This is 8 years ago, and it was at a different school. What does this have to do with Kansas? And they call KU for commentary, commenting on it, and they say, well, that didn't happen here, but, you know, we study these things, whatever. So you get all these things involved. I'm like, I don't know what Les Miles did or didn't do. It got settled. If you're asking me, do I think people of an older generation than me could flirt with girls, young college girls, and maybe say something a little inappropriate that is now considered way, and 8 years later, my God, what could you have said? You know, little Missy or refer to her as a cutie pie or something like that. Well, now that's like, I mean, almost as much as a crime because you can't say things like that in the workplace. I don't know what he did or didn't do. Do I think Les Miles is the Mad Hatter? He's a character. Do I think he may have flirted or said something to girls that worked around there or whatever? There is no, I mean, zero indication by anyone that this was ever physical. We've heard some things about Cuomo. He kissed me. He grabbed at me. There's no indication of this whatsoever. And I just caution people when these things happen, understand that you just don't think the worst and convict somebody right away. I don't know what Les Miles did or didn't do. I'm more concerned about what he's done at Kansas, and there's been no issues or complaints like that. I don't know that he's still worthy of being the football coach, but you can't really fire him during a pandemic. KU's in a bad financial way with their athletic department. He stays for at least another year, and then I think that's probably it for Les Miles. He probably shouldn't have come back to coaching. Kansas definitely shouldn't have hired him. I understand what they were trying to do. Let's go get a famous guy with a ring and see if he can get good recruits in here. But it's past him. I mean, we make fun of Joe Biden all the time here. Well, I think Les Miles is maybe beyond that. Sometimes he's just not there. I don't know. But I think this is probably his last year, and I'm not going to pile on him for something that supposedly occurred in 2013 that they're only bringing out now because it came to public light because LSU is getting investigated and whatnot. So some of these things came forward. Dr. Anthony Fauci in the news again. He now says, Tony Fauci says, whatever is available, take it. I really want you to think about that. Now, he was talking about the vaccine and the fact that a new one is coming out, the Johnson & Johnson single shot vaccine. And he just blanket statements and says, whatever's available, take it. Clearly was talking about the vaccine. Well, what if this was Trump? What if Trump said, whatever's available, take it. Oh, God, not hydroxychloroquine, not this, not that. Listen to Trump. He's peddling drugs. He's telling people, just take anything. Drink Clorox. Drink bleach. Okay, that's the story we heard, right? You know what this turned out to be? This was a poisoning. It was one spouse to another. The whole thing was a lie. Again, the initial reporting and what the actual facts are, two totally different things, and it seems to be a really bad problem in this country right now. Really bad. Dr. Fauci, speaking about the vaccines, said whatever's available, take it. So it begs the question, if you're on the fence about taking it, you just don't know, like I've had COVID, so I'm not in any hurry to take the vaccine. Again, I said, if somehow the government makes me take it, like I can't live my life, I have to have a card if we become a socialist country like overnight, and I have to have some card that says I'm vaccinated, I'll probably take it. As a rule, I prefer not to take things. I am not against vaccines. I love this vaccine. I'm so impressed with medical science and what we're doing. I'm thrilled that it's here. I don't know that it's for me, but it may be. And I may just up one day and decide to do it. But my question would be is if you're like me, most people aren't. I think most people are like, I want to go get it. Or a very small number of people are just anti-vaccine and they will never take anything like that and put it in their body. So I don't fall into either of those categories. So if you're in my category and you hear Dr. Fauci say, whatever's available, take it. Do you trust him? I think at this point, he's the last guy I'd go off of. Now, I had dinner last night with a couple of doctors, right? And they're good with the vaccine. That means a lot more to me than Dr. Fauci. He almost, hearing him say whatever's available, take it, almost makes me want to not take it. I don't trust the man anymore. I don't know where you are with him. I don't trust him. And I've never understood this trust the science or follow the science thing. I just don't get it. Because they didn't have enough science in the beginning. There was nothing to trust or follow. We were trying to figure it out. But then after we did have enough, and if you look at the graph of the age of numbers of people that have died from COVID, it's just outrageous. On Twitter yesterday, a guy that I follow, three times as many people in Kansas City last year over the age of 65, right? Three times as many people were murdered than died of COVID in Kansas City. Three times as many. It's just crazy. And you can see the spike. You can see where it is. It's mostly 70 and up, but there's a range area in there, 65 to 70. Some people died as well. The curve is just alarming. And so we know all that. And we're doing this one approach toward the whole thing. The masks, it's got to end. And Fauci really needs to stop talking now. It's just total burnout as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that he's just saying take whatever's available almost makes me, I mean, that's not a scientific conclusion. He should at this point have an idea which vaccine he thinks is best. There's no way they're all three equal. Correct? We all agree with that? Is that's science. There's no way they're all three the same. They're not. They may have the same result in vaccinating you against the virus, but the side effects are different. The chemical makeup is different. Three different kinds of vaccines. They can't be the same. They can't be equal. So as a scientist, isn't that horrific advice to say whatever's available, take it? No, because as George Carlin famously said, somewhere in the world is the worst doctor. And if you're dying, you really don't want that guy. All right? If there's three vaccines, one of them is the worst. I don't want that one. I want the best one. Anybody else with me on that? Or would I just, am I preaching to the choir or is that deaf ears? I don't know, but I don't know that he helps the cause for me. He says, take it. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a freshman congresswoman. She, you know who she is. She's been pretty outrageous with some of the things she's done and gotten a lot of attention for herself and conservative causes. She's conservative to the core. Across the hallway in the Capitol office building is Representative Marie Newman, a wildly liberal representative who is livid that Marjorie Taylor Greene across the hallway didn't vote for the Equality Act. Marjorie Taylor Greene said the Equality Act discriminates against women. In reality, not in wording. This is like we've talked about Title IX through the years. Title IX was set up so there was no discrimination at anything funded by the feds based on gender. Well, that sounds great. In reality, when they imposed it, it was anti-men. It took opportunities away from men. This cannot be argued. It did. What Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying is, okay, your Equality Act's here. What it does is, in reality, it's going to take opportunities away from women. It's going to discriminate against women. It doesn't in its language say we're discriminating against women, but in practice, when something is enforced, when it becomes the law of the land, it will discriminate against women. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is standing up for that. And Representative Marie Newman just was so mad that this Marjorie Taylor Greene is across the hallway from her. She put a transgender pride flag up outside in the hallway of her office so Marjorie Taylor Greene would see it every day. And then she tweeted out that Taylor Greene was a horrendous person and a bigot and, you know, all these other things. Marjorie Taylor Greene is awesome. She responds back by making a big sign. It looks like but it's professionally made. It's a beautiful looking sign, but it's not framed. You didn't hang it. It looked like a double-sided tape. And she puts it up on this flat wall and it's big. And the big sign says when Representative Newman walks out of her office, she can't help but see the sign. It's right there in front of her. It says there are two genders, male and female. Trust the science. Just fabulous. We got catfight in Congress. These two women across the hall from each other. Is it surprising to you to know that the Democrats and the Republicans are officed so close to each other? Didn't you kind of think that maybe they were off in their own areas or something? I see why they do this, because maybe you could become friends with somebody if you see them and you don't like their politics, but you could become personal friends. It's probably a really good idea. But now we got catfight. We got a catfight. It'll be interesting to see what Marie Newman does next now that she has clearly been. Look, she poked Marjorie Taylor Greene with a stick. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene went and got a billy club and just slammed her. Pretty strong stuff. Officer Sicknick, the officer at the Capitol on January 6th that lost his life, that laid in state in the rotunda, and everyone had the service for. His mom is now speaking out. She's not happy with the media. He was not hit with a fire extinguisher. The mother says, we believe he had a stroke. Believe he had a stroke that day and died. It's a lot different than Trump killed him. It's a lot different than Josh Hawley killed him. It's a lot different than armed intruders stormed the Capitol and an officer was killed. And then they said, well, it was a fire extinguisher. He got bashed in the head. Now, his mom's now done an interview and she said, we're pretty sure he had a stroke. Which may or may not have happened if there hadn't been the event. I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't even remotely even speculate, but some people have strokes just sitting in their chair watching TV. So I don't know how avoidable this was going to be for that officer. It's tragic. It's terrible. But the mom is saying, no, he wasn't bludgeoned in the head by a Trump supporter with a fire extinguisher. He had a stroke. And this will be interesting to follow in Oregon. We hear this from time to time. There was a time when some counties in western Kansas wanted to join Colorado because of the daylight savings time and mountain time, central time and mountain time. This was a thing. And there's been some places where some groups have gotten together. This one has real momentum in Oregon. There are five counties in Oregon that want to join Idaho. They're like, these are red counties. They're like, we're out of here. Portland has taken over the state, and we don't like what Portland is turning Oregon into. And we want to join Idaho. It's called, it started as Move Oregon's Border, but now it's known as the Greater Idaho Movement. And they're going to vote on this. Now, I don't know enough about the law. I'm going to read up on this. This is something for us to keep our eye on, because if they approve it, I think somehow, some way, the state of Oregon has to allow it, right? The counties can't just vote that they're leaving. They have to be, the states will have to, Idaho and Oregon at the state level will have to agree to this, right? And why would Oregon do that? Why would Oregon lose the good part of their state? Why would they let good land, good people, gainfully employed, paying taxes, not causing trouble, not committing crimes, they're not going to let those people go. They want to keep them and all the revenue that those people are bringing in for them, right? I don't know how you get this stuff past where it changes. I'll just say this. If we've reached a time in this country where this can happen, and it does, let's just say by some miracle, next year, five counties leave Oregon for Idaho, look out, because it's going to happen everywhere. Everywhere. It's going to be crazy. And it will affect us. I think right here, I don't have any question it could affect us. There's going immediately if this happens, there will be people, if you leave Denver and you drive to Kansas City, how long until you get into Kansas? Is it 90 minutes? 100 miles? I honestly don't know, but let's just say it's 100 miles from the Colorado border until you get to Denver. Okay, you get outside of Denver and you got 100 miles to Kansas. Those 100 miles want to be in Kansas. They don't like what's going on in Colorado. They want to be in Kansas. They do. They do. There was a time when Kansas, a portion of Kansas, wanted to be part of Colorado, but that was because of the pull of Denver. It had to do with when the sun sets, the time zone, and, you know, they like Denver sports teams there. If you get really close to the Kansas western border, you're likely to find a whole bunch of Broncos fans and maybe not Chiefs fans. That's just straight geography. Those people, when they want a weekend getaway, they drive into Denver, they go up into the mountains or whatever. If you live in far western Kansas, it's what you do. Kansas is kind of two different states. In that regard, there is a western pole that goes to Denver, and of course the east goes toward Kansas City. But I don't think there's any question if this starts popping up in different places. I think you're going to see part of New Mexico, maybe, want to join Texas. Why wouldn't they? What you're going to have, this will not really affect the Democrats that much. You're going to have all these rural areas that border states saying, we want in the next state over because they're Republican. That's what's going to happen if this is allowed. It could be the best thing ever happened to us. And it could happen right and left. I don't see it happening. I think the state of Oregon would have to be on board with that. And if you're leaving over politics, it means they control the politics. You're not getting anything changed. They're not going to let you leave. But it's interesting to keep an eye on that and see if there is a greater Idaho. Idaho, man, I've been to Idaho. If this isn't maybe the most underrated state, we hear a lot about Montana and Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and the Colorado Rockies and all these beautiful places and places in Utah. Nobody ever talks about Idaho. It is gorgeous. Idaho is a beautiful place. I think maybe it's just because there's so much known for potatoes that people don't recognize how beautiful Idaho is, what a great part of the country it is. But a chunk of Oregon wants to join Idaho. We'll keep our eye on that one. All right, there it is. Kevin Kietzman has issues later today at Danny Klingscale's site of Between the Lines 2.0. If you want to join over there as a patron, feel free to. It's Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Danny Klingscale. And you can catch me every Thursday over there doing a Between the Lines with Danny Klingscale on his patron site. If you want to go sign up, feel free and have some fun. And as always, I appreciate you listening when you do and sharing with your friends that we're doing this. And for free, hit that follow, like, subscribe button in any way that you can. It's all about the followers, I'm learning. All about that. And maybe grab your friend's phone and say, hey, if you listen to that podcast, let me hit that follow button for you. And then they get the alerts when there's a podcast up. Have a great, great day, folks. And thanks for listening to KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.